I keep waiting for Skype to arbitrarily boot me.
As it does.
Yes. It's just like random. Nope. You've got good audio this week, Jay. That means your Skype's going
to
suck.
I like the Windows 7 decided it had to reboot, like, I don't know, for some critical thing. I was in a room with six other people, and everybody's Windows 7 computer rebooted at the exact same time. It was like everybody went, nice. I guess we're going to lunch.
Break time.
Yeah.
Which 7? Was this like forever ago, or you guys just behind the time?
That was last week. You don't fuck with shit that works when your living's on the line.
Yeah. I don't know. We use Macs, so.
Well, I would use a Mac, except they don't make Class 2 Div 1 hardware that runs OS X. So.
Do you use Macs at work, Jay?
You're so cute. You try to speak English. What's that?
Are you trying to say that NRA headquarters runs on Macs?
Yes, we're all secretly in love with Steve Jobs.
Cool.
Jesus Christ, I've been a fucking life member for the NRA for so long, and I didn't realize there were a bunch of goddamn furries. We're not recording, are we?
Yeah, we are. We're recording. Are we? We're live.
Okay. Though I still do look down on it. Actually, my last job, all the computers were Macs, and then suddenly they were just all gone, and we had PCs.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
And it was so much better.
No, we
fucking hate Macs.
We work.
Congratulations, you've got a beach
ball. We work with Photoshop.
Hi, Brita.
Hi.
Good.
How are you? Brita. Are we on the air?
Yes.
Okay. Hello.
I didn't realize that.
We are.
He hasn't weird hello. So.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Internet, I'm sorry. I totally forgot about you. Hello, Internet. How are you doing? You're still looking good. You're still just as fine.
Jay's got the intermittent mic again.
Oh, no. What?
His mic's going to rage quit on him.
How does this always happen to Jay?
I think he's got probably similar powers as Mike does.
Is he? Oh, maybe.
It could be.
You might be right.
Except like Mike has like a destructive field. Jay has a disruptive field. Mike lets the magic smoke out of electronics. Jay just causes them to rage quit. Jay's kind of like he gets the cold shoulder from electronics. Oh, this guy's here. Like I'm sure his son will like
electronic screaming.
I'm sure his son will like do also like will play like Call of Duty on this exact same computer and be like running the video card at like max pegged out at super duper high frame rates and chatting with his friends over the whatever the hell you call the little like online chat system and everything sounds loud and clear and then suddenly dad comes on and just tries to run fucking measly Skype and
maybe Jay, are you like in the basement or something or?
No, I'm actually in the office, which is where the modem / router is located.
So maybe it is you.
I think.
Also, he lives in Virginia. I don't think they have basements there.
Also be the fact that we do. There are places that do not. here in Virginia.
I think it's Jay's animal magnetism. It disrupts the Wi-Fi.
Or my hairy back, one of the two.
I'd go say unplug your USB.
Nope, my mic works fine.
And plug it back in.
Yeah, except I'm going through the mic in the computer, Alan.
Oh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't even know where my mic went.
That may be your problem.
Though when we talk back here, Jay, you've got better total coverage. I've got better tuftage. Where I've got it, it's thick.
What?
Back here.
This is interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, do go on. Please explain this.
No, I've got perfectly baby smooth portions of my back, but also parts that are way thicker than what Jay has.
Where would those be? I shouldn't ask, but I need to know now.
I kind of got random patches
on your back, like I got one two, on your like, shoulder blade.
Show.
I got two little like angel wings running like on like the back of either lung.
Al, did we not broadcasting? Really?
Yeah.
Men are so weird.
Yeah, we're
not. And then, of course, I've got like the tuft at the base of my neck and the tuft at like the cleft just above my butt.
Men are weird.
But every dude has that. But all I gotta say is it's dead sexy because it's sexual dimorphism. It's shit that chicks don't have, so therefore chicks dig it.
Okay. Well.
Brita, come on. You're totally into me.
I was unaware of your tufts of lung fur.
Remind me to disrobe next time we're together.
Well, it will have to happen because I need photo evidence or something. Men are weird. Oh, and then you get the whole ear thing. The ear hair.
Thankfully, that shit.
What is that? What is that for? Ear hair. I mean, you get like in your ear and then on your ear, you get like these fur.
Oh, yeah, the little tufts that are like the top of the earlobe.
What is that about? Like, what is it for?
That's not for anything. I don't know what the hell the story with that is. I mean, the hair inside the ear, I assume, is just to
for what?
Is to like keep stuff out and what? Just protect.
Women don't get.
But yeah, you're right. Women don't. I think women have a little bit though. You've got
not like that.
No, not like that. That's just testosterone and what it does. That's sexual dimorphism.
Weird. Weird. Mutants. That's what you are.
It's kind of like, why do dudes have deeper voices than ladies? What the fuck does that serve?
No. Okay, can you guys hear me?
Well, in a manner of speaking, yes, we can.
Okay, I just plugged in my microphone, which has not been plugged in like years.
Yeah, unplug
it. I'm calling from inside my microwave.
Unplug it?
Yeah, unplug it.
What has happened?
Ground control to Major Tom.
Yeah.
No.
In honor of David Bowie passing away, Jay's going to Skype from the ISS this entire score report.
It's going to be one of those nights.
Oh, that's fine.
You take your protein pills?
Put your helmet on.
Oh.
What the hell? It used to be like there was all this sci-fi shit about popping a couple of pills instead of eating food.
Yeah.
Who the fuck thought that was a good idea? Like,
well, they do have Soylent now.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yes. It's a drink that they call it Soylent. And it's like this drink. And you can either buy it in the drink form or the powder form and just add water. But yes, apparently it is completely nutritionally complete. And you can just drink the Soylent if you don't want to bother with food.
And it's made out of people?
Absolutely.
I don't know if it's made out of people.
I hope it is.
It should be.
Yeah.
But
see,
again,
now you sound great, Jay.
I actually plugged what I thought was a iPhone speaker headset thing in, but it was just the earbuds.
Oh.
And apparently it was enough to trick the computer into working. I'm working on like a 5-year-old Black Friday special computer here, so I'm like wicked.
Just
on
use your iPhone.
Why don't you take your motherfucking wheelbarrows full of cash,
yeah,
and wheelbarrow them over to like I don't know. I mean, just go to goddamn Best Buy. I don't care.
Use your iPhone.
Yeah,
iPhone. For real. I do the show on my iPhone. I have Skype.
Go to your goddamn super mall and find the latest like soft lighting Guinness bar. And talk to all the like, you know, goatee wearing hipsters with like facial piercings and say, hey, I'm at a Guinness bar. Give me a MacBook Air Fart biscuit. Light. Ice watch.
An air biscuit? What? What does he talk?
I am disappointed that you can have my phone calls through your watch. through your Apple Watch.
Can you talk into the watch?
Yes. No. Yes. Can. Well, you can, but yeah. you can talk back.
Well, you don't want
you can't
your,
like do the Dick Tracy thing where you can talk.
You don't want your watch talking to you. That's
why?
Ridiculous.
Why not?
You can't just like be like, I'm too goddamn lazy to pull my phone out of my pocket, so can I boot Skype to my Ice Watch? And then do Dick Tracy.
Can you put
I'd be
Skype on your
iPhone? I was jerking off if you'd yell at me.
Oh God.
Oh man, that'd be actually great to put like a porn movie up on your iSwatch.
Oh my God.
So you got one wrist up to your face that the other one is pumping furiously.
Oh my God.
Man, all right, I'm buying an iSwatch.
It's not even quarter after.
You know the Apple Watch does have a motion sensor in it.
See? There you go.
I'm making a face.
Okay, we should do something.
Play the music, Alan.
There, music.
Thank you. God.
It is Thursday, January 14th, 2016. This episode 179 of The Squirrel Report.
What did you say, Alan?
I
didn't
hear you. I forget.
I wasn't paying attention.
I know.
Guys. Did we all watch the State of the Union speech?
No.
No.
Of course we did. And we're all totally bummed that we're missing the Republican debate right now, aren't we?
Nope.
No.
There's a Republican debate
I do not think I've watched any State of the Unions of Obama's. And this was his last one, right?
Anybody's State of the Union. I'm sorry. It's all fucking bullshit. It is.
There's annoying clapping and blah, blah, blah. And,
the closest I could get to watch of any sort of like political speech sort of nonsense is a debate, because at least someone's going to throw a punch at somebody and that's going to get somebody to do something spontaneous.
I still say the best debate I've ever watched, because it was so awesome, was Dick Cheney versus John Edwards. It was so good. It was like, I was like cheering at the TV. It was great.
That is pretty good. I gotta say, I am still, even though, no, he's not like the greatest person on the planet, but I am still just an unequivocal Dick Cheney fan.
Dick Cheney versus John Edwards is like Darth Vader versus an Ewok. I mean, it's
of
like,
of course it is. It was wonderful.
But let's be fair. I mean, you know, Dick Cheney, for all you say about him, he's not that bad. I mean, he did get fucking drunk and shoot his buddy in the face.
Was he drunk?
I guarantee he was fucking drunk. He did the Ted Kennedy thing. I mean, supposedly there were drinks going around that was admitted to, and he did the Ted Kennedy of the, all right, I'll go into the police station tomorrow morning.
Oh dear. Yeah. Well.
And so, yeah, so he was drunk and shot his buddy in the face. And plus, I mean, come on, he's an avid hunter and he fucking shot his buddy in the face. How do you let that happen?
Here, hold my beer.
Exactly.
Maybe he got too excited.
Yeah, but the whole, you know, and of course, you know, he was George W. Bush's vice president, but we can't hold that against him. But I really like him. And John Edwards is a complete and utter piece of shit. As a matter of fact, he's worse than a piece of shit. I do is flush a piece of shit. I wouldn't.
What is he doing now?
Fire.
I think that's besmirching the reputation of shit unduly. I don't know.
He's still alive, John Edwards?
I'm sure he's got some sort of.
I think he's doing time, isn't he?
No.
No.
What is he doing? I don't think he's doing anything now.
No, he's talking to the dead. That's right.
He's commiserating. He's sitting around. Oh.
Oh, he's still a personal injury lawyer in North Carolina. He went back to the original what he was doing before, which is basically ambulance chasing.
Ambulance chasing.
Well, okay.
Chasing ambulances. He wants to represent Volkswagen owners in their case against Volkswagen about emissions. Like, they're actually suing Volkswagen because they made their cars more awesome.
See, that I would be. I would not sue Volkswagen because that is awesome. You got a car.
Have a Democrat suing Volkswagen because they made their cars more like the cars in Europe.
That's a feature. You've got a car that never fails an emissions test. Come on.
And you've got a car that's acting like a car in Europe because they have no emission standards for diesels in Europe.
Yeah.
They don't need the little piss can or any of that bullshit.
I thought everybody wanted to be like Europe.
Exactly. Well, at least all the fucking Democrats do.
Yeah.
They want us to ban all our guns and have our like super high tax rates and single payer health care and all that shit. Bring in the Syrian immigrants so they can rape the white women.
Just like Europe.
Just like Europe. So, yeah. But yet all of a sudden you have a German automobile, again, European car that behaves like it's a European car. No! Kill it!
Do you know why? Remember, Volkswagen turned down the UAW.
Oh.
But Volkswagen was started by Nazis. We know how the left feels about the Nazis.
They love them.
They love them.
You know, speaking about European cars, I saw something on a food travel documentary on Netflix. In Paris, and I thought this was really interesting. You know how in some major cities you can go and you can find a bike and you can rent a bike to.
Yep.
I know they have it in downtown Cleveland.
They,
you can
they have it
go.
Too.
Yeah, you can go and put your little money in and get a bike for the day and then return it to the thing and you know.
Oh, and by the way, if I don't know about, I'm pretty sure it's everywhere else, every place else, cyclists are the biggest fucking assholes on the
road.
Well,
yes, that is
the ones yes. that are on the rent-a-cycles are the worst of the worst assholes on the fucking road
because they don't have the practice.
Well,
but
I go across
in Paris. I got to tell you, back to the European car thing. In Paris, you can do that with an electric car.
Well,
you can like stick your little card in the thing and get an electric car for the day and ride around the car. And the host of the show was like, why don't we do this in the United States?
What's wrong with us?
And why can't we, you know, why can't you get a little car for the day?
We do this in the United States. What the hell is it called?
Rent a car for the day, but it's
they've got the ride sharing thing.
Uber?
What the hell's, not Uber, but,
Lyft.
No, not the one where it's a livery, but the one zip cars. That's exactly it. Brad just chimed in chat.
Is that a car that uses a nail as a firing pin?
Yes. Yes, it is. No. A zip car is back when we lived closer to the city and I would go out to see my wife and I had the only vehicle between my wife and I. She was a member of Zipcar and we lived in Medford, Massachusetts, right by Tufts.
Colleges
are the best places for them. And there were like five or six parking spots within walking distance of my apartment that had zip cars. And what you do is you become a member and they give you a little card and you, and what you could do is you can essentially reserve the car. So therefore you don't have to like walk around and like go, oh shit, it's not there. Oh shit, it's not there. Or somebody else is walking over to it and you get in a fucking squabble over who was there first to get the car. No, so instead you reserve the car for a block of time and then you show up, I think swipe your car and that unlocks it. And the keys are in there and you drive it around, do what you want to do. And then before you're done, you go to a gas station and swipe your card at the pump, and that pays for the gas. The gas is included, and you bring it already filled up to the parking space and park it.
No way.
She loved it because also not only was it a little car that you could grab for short money, you know, and essentially it's not like a rental car; it's an hourly rate sort of thing. But also she could pick out which car she wanted. So she would like go like, oh, you know what? Look, there's this you know, there's a, you know, she liked the Mazda 3 the best, but like there was a BMW, you know, two or three series somewhere and all sorts of stuff. So whatever you wanted, you could drive it. But now that we're out in the sticks, there's none of that.
Out in the sticks.
Out in the sticks. I just say that because everybody I work with now lives like in the Metro Boston area. So me with my like extremely cushy hour long commute are like, oh my God, how do you live?
I live out in the hinterlands where you have to drive at least 5 minutes to find a Starbucks.
Yeah, no, it's 5 minutes away. You're right.
Holy shit! 5 minutes.
That's right. That's right. But I do have coffee upstairs, and I do have a lighter, so I can set coffee on fire in my own kitchen.
burnt tires.
Oh, that wonderful Starbucks.
I don't understand Starbucks. I don't know.
It's a smugness.
Ugh.
All right, yeah. Can I just take a quick victory lap with my giddy mood last week on the show, and it's only gotten better
Your giddy mood?
Giddy!
Oh my God!
What the
Jay.
Hell are you talking about?
I did giddy. Not say, Jay, I call you a Negro. but is again Barack Obama did the State of the Union speech. And even pulled a fucking bullshit stunt where he left the seat beside Michelle empty for the victims of gun violence.
Oh, did he do that? I read that he was going to do that.
And he didn't fucking say peep about it. He said one quick line. He told the world he was going to do executive orders and was bringing in his legal team. And his legal team said, you fucking can't do an executive order on this. So he didn't. While he was saying he was going to do executive orders on guns, CNN said, why don't you come and do a town hall on gun violence? So he declared his non-executive orders and then sat down at the town hall, and CNN was fucking pissed. And so they ran roughshod over him and just stomped his guts out on live TV.
That was
pretty
awesome.
And then went to the State of the Union and just pretended it didn't fucking happen. Awesome.
All right, then.
I really think I've been telling people I do think that last week with the executive orders and the CNN town hall, and you can factor in the State of the Union thing into it, I think this is more important than not necessarily more important because it's standing on the shoulders of the Heller decision, but I think it's up there with the Heller decision because the Heller decision is awesome for us wonks. That puts us Second Amendment geeks. You know, it acknowledges us and says, oh yeah, the Second Amendment means what it says. And all this like bullshit that the anti-gunners and the quote unquote common sense goons are doing is illegal. But again, the people that are saying we need to do common sense gun laws and you know, fly in the face of the Second Amendment, they're saying that because they don't give a flying fuck about, you know, the Bill of Rights or the Constitution. And there's no getting around that. And there's a large portion of the population, not even, you know, sinister people that just don't care about the Constitution.
Nope.
And this goes a step further. It just shows just how hollow and stupid the anti-gun side is. And just shows that, hey, guess what? Yeah, no, you were supporting gun control, but yeah, no, this is what's behind the curtain.
And if the media weren't fellow believers in gun control, then nobody would ever hear that point of view at all, because it is ludicrous and fringe.
Oh, by the way, Radis just said in chat, Starbucks in Massachusetts, not Dunks. The Dunks is a 5-minute walk from my house. And I have a Dunks that's a 10-minute walk from my house and a 13-minute walk from my house. Dunkin' Donuts in Massachusetts is like Starbucks in Washington. Like, there are Dunkin' Donuts that are across the street from each other.
Hey, Route 1. There's about 8 just in a little stretch north of Boston.
Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts has better coffee. Really.
Dunkin' Donuts coffee is pretty good. Dunkin' Donuts is the only coffee Jay will drink. Ask me how I know that. when we drove from Massachusetts to North Carolina. No, I will only stop at a Dunkin' Donuts for coffee.
That's right. Damn straight. None of this Starbucks crap.
What about McDonald's coffee? Is it bad?
What?
All coffee is bad.
Well, I mean, yes, you're speaking to a tea drinker.
Tea?
Yeah, man.
That's right. I remember that.
Tea's awesome. It's got theophylline in it, which is A, good for asthma.
I prefer theobromin, thank you.
Which one's that one?
I don't know.
No, tell me this one, Mr. Biochemist. I'm deeply interested.
It's the primary alkaloid found in cocoa and chocolate.
Oh. And what's it do? Is it a vasodilator?
No, but you can overdose on it.
Oh, cool.
And that call-in number, 214-530-0036.
But as I was trying to say before rudely interrupted, theophylline is a vasodilator, so therefore it is good if you have asthma. But also it works to slow the absorption rate of caffeine. So when I drink coffee, it's kind of a big spike. It comes on fast, it comes on hard, and then when it leaves just as quick, and there's a bit of a hangover. With tea, it's just kind of a nice steady curve. And I like that better.
Theophylline always made me sick.
Did you have asthma, Alan?
Still do.
Me too. It sucks.
Yes, it does.
You're weak.
I am not weak.
My cat has asthma.
Which one?
Well, both of the boys do. Ronan and Tyke. They have cat asthma.
What is cat asthma?
I have cat asthma. It's like regular
if I was
asthma.
To sleep at Frida's house, you would hear me whistling away all night long.
it's asthma, but for cats. It's
what do you
thing.
Do for it?
Well, they don't get it often enough for me to worry. Like they'll have asthma attacks once in a while. And you just kind of wait it out and make sure it ends at a certain point. But,
just give them a little cough.
But for cats who get it like a lot, they have little kitty inhalers.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you get them to do it?
You just put it in front of their face and let them breathe it in.
Huh.
Yeah.
I bet they love that.
Well, it's like a little mask, kind of like a little oxygen mask.
I bet they love the shit out of that.
They just put it in front of their
face. That on my face.
I'm sure the cat at a certain point realizes, hey, if I stick my face in here, I can breathe.
Yeah, kind of like.
And then once they get used to that, you can shotgun a joint through it.
Okay. Yeah, but didn't we have a topic tonight? I don't know. It's almost 9:30.
I suggested a couple.
I thought your topics were great, Weird.
Why, thank you. Well, can we just dive into that first one?
Yes. I hope so.
I was listening to Michael Bain, and he was talking. I think he said was talking something about hunting. I don't know. I sometimes drift in and out with Michael Bain. I find him very soothing. But I got thinking about Cecil the Lion. And I realized that there was never any charges against that. He was a dentist, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. So there's never any charges against the dentist. As far
as
he
didn't do anything illegal.
Yeah. I don't think there was ever any charges against the outfitters that put him on the Lion, because I don't think they did anything illegal. And the world's completely forgotten about it because nobody fucking – everyone talked about like Cecil the Lion like, oh my god, I was a huge Cecil the Lion fan. I was, they were talking about him like, oh, Hellboy, it's got Ron Perlman in it, because they were huge fans of Beauty and the Beast in the 90s. No, they had no idea who the fuck Cecil the Lion was, but they read a headline about Cecil the Beloved Lion. And they just bought it hook, line, and sinker and started hashtagging the shit out of it. And, yeah, nope. And then just completely forgot about it. And nobody like vandalized or harmed this dentist stateside because, yep, nope. I just got thinking about all of these like hashtag activism. And I just thought it might be fun to gloat on air. And if people want to call in and talk about like what little like goofy political movement where a whole bunch of smug assholes that don't want to do anything at all chime in about how smug and cool they are for caring about this thing, except they don't care about it because as soon as it's not popular anymore, they don't think about it.
Well, I want to talk about the Bring Back Our Girls thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was all over Twitter.
That was the second thing that came to mind.
Every fucking celebrity was holding up a sign, Bring Back Our Girls. And they all had these sad faces, including Michelle Obama. Oh, my gosh. She was the worst. The worst. Her sad face. I wanted to punch her sad face.
She did want to take your pie.
Well, that too, Michelle Obama. Yeah. Anyway, so this whole Bring Back Our Girls was in, what was it? It was in 2014. Schoolgirls were kidnapped in Nigeria by this Boko Haram. Mm-hmm. And it's a, they're a bunch of.
I think they're a derivative of ISIS.
Whatever. They're Muslim terrorists. Mm-hmm. Whatever they call themselves, it's all the same thing. So they kidnapped a whole bunch of girls in Nigeria. And, you know, of course, you know, Muslims, they make them sex slaves and then they kill them or whatever the hell they do. But it was like this sweeping thing across Twitter. Every celebrity had to bring back our girls. And they're all holding the signs and making the sad face. And that's all you have done. That's all they did was pose for a picture for Twitter, which only increases their own celebrity. I mean, it doesn't do anything for the girls, of course, right? So it is now almost 2 years later, 2 years, and these girls that were kidnapped by Boko Haram in Nigeria, 57 have been recovered. 57. 219 are still missing. Missing. They don't, they have no idea.
Well, somebody knows.
Not only do they have no idea, but they don't care.
They don't care. It's not popular on Twitter anymore.
Nope.
Yep.
Fuck you, Michelle Obama.
That's right.
Fuck you. It's it's this narcissism thing that just drives me. I hate Twitter. First of all, I fucking hate Twitter. It is like the cesspool of idiotic narcissism.
Well, it's I think this is actually very point. It's like the gluten-free movement. I mean, Brita, you have an honest-to-God gluten sensitivity. I mean, you've given up beer. Let's just put it this way. She's not doing it to be fucking trendy if Brita gave up beer.
Yes.
sort Thank of you. Idea. And I've got my sister-in-law has celiacs and I've got, you know, a few other friends. Sci-Fi's lovely wife has celiacs.
And, I've never been tested for celiacs. So
my sister-in-law has been tested either. She doesn't fucking give a shit. And anyway, she was actually her doctor also, I think she actually really kind of can't get tested because her doctor's like, well, if you've completely taken it out of your diet now, because she immediately, she figured out what it was and took it out of her diet and realized it went away. And so, oh, well, what you need to do is you need to go on back on it for
a few days. I'm not willing to do that.
Yeah, no, that's just
seriously
stupid.
Not willing to do that.
So, but let's face it, you probably have something. If you don't have it, you have something similar. I don't know all the conditions well enough to know if there's something else that could be similar to celiacs. But again, you've got all these people that are doing the gluten-free just for whatever, you know, bullshit reason.
Right.
you know, the same thing with like any other bullshit thing, like juice cleanses and colonics.
Well,
it's
narcissism, especially if you're on the internet talking about it, like, oh, you know, I'm going gluten free because blah, 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 or I'm, you know, hashtag whatever. It's like this, like, look at me, look how great I am thing.
Virtue signaling.
Right. That's a good term, Jay.
It's not mine.
It's not yours, but it's – thank you.
Heard it described thusly, and it makes a lot of sense. It's look at me. Look at how good a person I am. I care. And it literally costs you nothing.
No. Yep. It not even cost you anything, but
– even time.
It promotes
you. I mean, it's the same thing with, like, the people driving their fucking Priuses and Volts and all that shit. Look at how much I care about the environment while they're strip mining cadmium in Canada. You know, no, you don't really care about the environment because, hey, guess what? The amount of like carbon that's being put out by my ridiculously fuel efficient, like large SUV. Oh my God, this thing gets amazing gas mileage for how big and how powerful it is. Again, that's the whole thing is, oh, man, we need to have these CAFE standards and all that. It's one of those, like, I'm sorry, look at any vehicle from the 70s. It'll have, like, 120 horsepower, and it'll get, like, 10 miles to the gallon. It'll weigh a gajillion pounds. And, you know, and it'll be a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, and it's dead at 80,000 miles.
Yeah, shit. Look at, like, a fucking Nash Ambler.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a good car.
We have a caller.
Yay.
Oh, good.
Yep. Area code 352. Hello.
Hi, it's Radis.
Hey, Radis.
Radis.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Brita, these hashtag activism, you know, activism things, they all have an expiration date. They all have an expiration date. You know, it's just, it's maybe a week, maybe a month, but no longer than that. It just, and the bring back our girls thing. Even then, all the celebrities, they recycled some of their previous hashtag things for it. There's like at least a half dozen that was it was showed up with it. Oh, it was entirely different hashtag. And they recycled it. It's like a whole bunch, like Sean Penn and some other ones. They're holding up the signs. It's like, oh, yeah, it's something else. And it was for something else entirely a month or two beforehand.
Oh.
So it's like, it was like one of the things they showed at that time. It's like, oh, they redid the stuff without having to do it anymore. All it is was like, here, repost. That was easy. But
that's horrible.
Save the whales.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes, it is. But I have an important question for Jay. You there?
Uh-oh. Yes.
Okay. Was it the attic or the basement that you kept your son in for most of his life?
What?
Did he hasn't seen any movies from the 90s or 80s? What did you have? A continuous loop of animated squirrel movies or animated chipmunk movies?
Pretty much. It was, you know, SpongeBob SquarePants and Dora the Explorer. Yeah.
By the way, Jay, given his age, if he wants a movie from the 80s, Taboo 1 and Taboo 2.
Not 3?
No, 3 sucks. 1 and 2 are the good ones.
Were those the 80s? I thought those were the 70s.
Nope, 80s. 1981 and 1983, if I remember correctly.
If they look like giving a leg lock to buckwheat, it's from the 70s. See, that one kicks in. You have to think about that.
Oh, shit.
Like, leg lock to buck, because they were hairy.
Yeah. Like, okay. Who is the famous poet? I forget his name. He was famous for being a poet, but he was also famous for the first time he saw his wife naked. He was so overcome by the. The hair in weird places.
That was a not a poet. That was a painter.
Oh, okay. Somebody. I knew it was somebody. That
and I'm Googling. Hold on.
By the way, Tab.
It was Millay. John Everett Millay.
Okay. Was he apparently had never seen a woman like fully naked before, and
except in paintings,
right? Which which as I learned from Brita, that they frequently did not use female models for their female subjects. They used young boys. Isn't that what you were telling me?
Well, yes, it's true.
And by the way, I'm on IMDb, which, if those of you don't know, IMDb covers all movies. And Taboo was 1980, and Taboo 2 was 1982.
Yeah, but 1980 was like the end of the 70s.
It was also the beginning of the 80s.
No, it was actually the end of the
70s. Well, Taboo 2 is 1970-10.
I get it. Well then, Taboo 2 is 1982.
Yeah. That's pretty good. 80s.
It's pretty good too.
Radish, you still there?
Yes.
We are slowly correcting the deficits. We've seen Die Hard 1 and 2.
Speaking of which, Alan Rickman, man.
I know. Yeah. Hans Gruber finally hit the ground.
Aww.
Oh. Too soon.
No, not too soon. I think that's very fitting. He's an actor, and he's remembered for one of his greatest roles.
Oh, he's remembered for lots
his
of great
first
roles.
First role.
And to be fair, he gets killed in almost everything he's in.
Quigley Down Under.
He's not quite up there with Lance Henriksen, but he's pretty fucking close. Yeah, Quigley Down Under.
But weird. Die Hard was his first actual role in a movie.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
It was supposed to be, yeah.
Ugh.
I'm back on IMDb.
Same thing. He was also in Galaxy Quest, which is the best Star Trek movie ever.
Pretty yes. Fucking good.
That was the best Star Trek documentary, you mean.
Yes.
No, according to IMDb, his first acting credit, he played Tybalt in a Romeo and Juliet TV movie.
On TV.
That doesn't count. That's not TV. A film.
Oh, you are correct. His first
his first
big screen is Hans Gruber.
88. Yeah. So let's see. He was born in 46. In 88, he was 42. Shit, I'm behind the curve.
You're not an actor.
Man, 69, same age as David Bowie.
Yeah.
Both of them got fucking beat out by goddamn Lemmy.
By Lemmy.
Like, you know, I wonder if David Bowie is like, Jesus Christ, I quit all the smoking and drinking and drugs so I could die a year before Lemmy.
Keith Richards is still alive.
And Keith Richards is pickled.
By the way, the other day I was watching an interview between Hunter S. Thompson and Keith Richards.
Which, wow.
So, and get this. Instead of knocking on Keith Richards' hotel room door when he came to interview him, he instead set a loudspeaker down outside the door and played what I believe was a mating call of a fisher. It was horrifying. And Keith Richards answered the door with a stun baton. This was the world that Hunter S. Thompson lived in, and he decided to leave it. That is beyond me. But the interesting thing about it was the interview I watched was like really, really heavily edited. And I'm like, oh man, they keep cutting at weird places. And I started realizing, I don't think this interview's going anywhere. It was pretty cool. It was just two completely incoherent people being incoherent.
You know what? While we have a moment, I want to apologize to Millay, because it wasn't Millay. It was John Ruskin, who was an art critic. It was not Millay the painter.
Oh.
John Ruskin was the one who – except the whole thing is kind of like mythology.
It's one of those
really.
Apocryphal things.
They're not sure what happened, but yeah. Effie Gray was the woman, and apparently she was married to John Ruskin in the beginning, and he couldn't do it with her because he saw her naked, and she was like one of those women that everybody loved and they thought she was so attractive. And then he married her and then he wasn't attracted to her after, I don't know. Nobody knows. And then she left him for Malay. So Malay is sometimes maligned.
Ah, okay.
So
by the way, Spike just posted
none of this matters to anybody, but there you go.
Spike just posted a chat. Somebody put a reverse clip of the end of Die Hard, and it's instead Hans Gruber being taken up into heaven.
I'm going to have to watch Die Hard, right?
Yes.
You haven't seen Die Hard?
No.
Well, Brady, you're going to have to wait almost another year because you really need to watch it during the Christmas season.
You do not
season.
Have to watch it during Christmas.
You have.
You just don't.
No.
It's Christmas.
No, you don't.
All right.
You really don't. It is absolutely a year-round movie, but it is awful nice during Christmas.
Yes. You get to see people smoking again.
Oh, jeez.
You get to see gas prices less than a buck in Los Angeles.
How can you do Ghostbusters without the cigarette hanging out of Venkman's mouth? No, it wasn't Bankman.
Everyone was smoking in that.
Yeah, that's true.
Aykroyd.
That's
true.
Like
Aykroyd's kid, who is
Dan? Ray.
Yes,
Aykroyd's Ray.
He can hear you, Ray.
What did you do, Ray?
No, it was Egon was the only one that didn't smoke. Everybody else was just smoking like a fucking fiend in that, and that just made it even better because the fact they're all like PhD professors. Yeah. And just like quickly just dive down into that. They quickly plunge into the blue collar depths of just the, nah, I'm just smoking and being tired. You don't look good.
and they're smoking inside in New York.
Yes. Yes. With unlicensed nuclear proton accelerators on their backs.
That's why they were smoking indoors. Yeah. All I got to say is, I have the first time I ever went and drank at the Crow's Nest in Gloucester, which is the bar made famous by the Perfect Storm.
Yes.
I definitely smoked a whole bunch of cigarettes while I was there. And it was definitely after Massachusetts had made smoking in bars illegal. Oddly enough, no one seemed to care. And that was definitely during one of my many periods of quit smoking. Oh no, I don't smoke anymore. But you know what? If someone sets a pack of smokes down on the bar next to me, I'm going to look at them and say, hey man, can I have one of those? And one might turn into five or six or seven. Oh, cigarettes.
Oh, cigarettes.
Yes. The day they figure out how to grow new lungs, I'm going to buy an entire car.
Radis is still there. I think he's just hanging out and listening. Yeah.
By the way, since Radis is here, Radis sent me the I read it first on Say Uncle, but the story from I think was it out of Texas?
Yes, it was in Texas.
Yeah, where
I'll
they
throw the
they,
links up again.
Where they ran an active shooter scenario and actually attempted to make it fair. They still I mean it still I think is not perfect.
I was embarrassed for that woman.
It's human nature. It worked out okay. Some of the mechanics were pretty good. They should have had all should have had the same face wear. You wouldn't be able to tell. But it was pretty good. It's not as bad as the ABC one. But it was just because these are people that actually have handled a firearm before.
Well, I mean, the ABC one, I mean, there was actually one instance where
it's like two or three different decks stacked against the guy, and he still got a hit.
He still got hit, and the time that he took out the shooter, that was all of a sudden when an accomplice showed up in the scenario.
Yeah.
Where suddenly someone who had been sitting there the whole time calmly listening to the lecture suddenly pulled out a gun and shot him. Because, that's always how school shootings work is – number one, they're always working in teams of two, and they've always got a plant.
But this latest one, it's not bad. But if they do, at the end, they fall into the derp of body armor, threat or menace.
Yeah, I mean that was the big thing. So it was It was a they had a bunch of people that were shooters. They all had various levels of training and carry permits and all of that stuff. So number one, they weren't throwing like the 2020 hack job where they just took people. Some of them had shotguns before. Most of them had never fired a gun before. None of them carried. And yeah. just wasn't said, that, oh, look, that, here's a gun. Congratulations.
Was that what your buddy Robert Farrago did?
That was also what Robert Farrago did. Is the we'll get to him later, but yeah, they had so 2020 did the they filled an entire room filled with their employees, so everybody was a plant except for the test subject, and it was a lecture hall, and there was the seat for the test subject, and everybody knew this is where the test subject sat. Front and center, 12 o'clock in the, you know, in the school thing. And everyone was told what to do when the shooter came, except for the test subject. So the panic was entirely staged, and essentially a police marksman. So it was an untrained shooter because nobody there had a carry permit. Some people had shot before, but nobody carried. They gave them a bulky, like, retention rig that they had them wear at 12 o'clock outside the waistband with a t-shirt that came down to their knees.
Yeah, they oversized t-shirt, but they were all under 21.
They were all under 21. They were all wearing face masks, and they were all wearing heavy paintball gloves. So try to pull off a draw stroke with that bullshit, and try to pull off a draw stroke for the first time in your life with that bullshit on. The professor, quote unquote, would be giving a lecture, and then the shooter would walk in, pop the professor, and then immediately turn to the person who had the gun, because he knew where they were, shoot them, and then the show was over. Let's see. Robert Farrago instead had a bunch of people that ran, I think, a firearms training thing, build a replica of the Charlie Hebdo facility, and then had people that they called up on Facebook who could show up within, you know, within a few hours because it was super short notice. And so those people got to sit in what would be their office because they were playing the people that worked at Charlie Hebdo. And the terrorists were the people that built the fucking office. So they were unfamiliar with their surroundings. The terrorists were completely familiar with the surroundings. And the terrorists were the trained shooters, and the other people were people that were.
The terrorists were the trained, the actual trainers, the actual people who do that all the time in that same facility. They know every little part of it. They're the ones that's supposed to be the
and again, the they built the plywood walls to create the office, and the people that were defenders were fans about the truth about guns, which. You want to find someone who knows how to shoot, don't look at the truth about guns. And then
No. Weird. They actually have a very vast audience that actually knows about guns. They're watching to see if they're stolen, any of their articles are stolen.
Exactly. But then by the way, did I mention that I accidentally was running through some goofy little like Google thing. It was called like Gazoogle. It's supposed to like gangsterize your website. I don't know. It's supposed to put everything in like gangster speak. I wrote in weirdworld.com, and for whatever reason, this website shot me out a search for weirdworld.com instead of taking me directly to weirdworld.com, and found like the number two hit for that was actually the Wikipedia entry for the truth about guns. I did talk about this. Yeah. Cause I actually mentioned like Alan's also cited in it.
Yep.
But so what this group did was, I don't think anybody knew the surroundings where they were. I think everybody was cold at that. So the quote unquote office worker didn't actually know the office they were working at. So they were on the first day of the job, but the shooter did not know either.
Yeah.
But everybody had training. And that's one of the problems. One of the major problems in their scenario was everybody had training, which in fact, when we're dealing with even the fucking parachuters, they barely knew which end the bullets came out of.
Yeah.
But the other thing was, remember, only headshots count because he's going to be wearing body armor, which it's always been reported. It was reported on like Virginia Tech. It was reported on the Aurora shooting. It was reported pretty much everywhere that, the shooter was wearing body armor, except it's never been the case.
Yeah. It turns out to be a cheap nylon magazine.
And on top of that, no, if you shoot somebody in a fucking ballistic vest, those hits also count.
Sure.
Yeah, because unless they have some sort of training that they're either force on force or even minimal concentration on it, not people that just, here, I bought a gun because, hey, it's something to use. If they have some sort of idea behind it, they'll focus on that where they don't get, because most of the people that have saves on body armor, like cops and stuff like that, they say normally, oh, I didn't really notice it, or I noticed something hitting, but I didn't really, it wasn't really a distraction. People who don't have any type of training, like most of the attackers that you have, they, even if you hit on them, they're probably going to get distracted. Say, hey, what the hell?
Masayub talks about like early police back when he first started his career, talking about police officers who, one police officer got shot in the vest with a .22 rifle, and he fell down because he was like, I'm hit. And was just like, oh my God, I'm going to die because I just got shot. And, this is one of the stories that got people to get through the fight through it scenario even if you get shot and the bullet goes through your vest and goes through your fucking heart, keep fucking shooting. Yes, you are going to die. And do you want to just die, just fall down and let them win? Or do you want to take them with you? And that was, for the training. But yeah, a lot of people you get shot. It fucking hurts like hell. You feel the impact. It's all that. And unless you have complete faith in your ballistic armor, you might be concerned that you're about to die. And that's going to take you out of the headspace of where you were originally. That's going to get as Kurt Russell said, don't be afraid of what you're going to do to him. I'm not afraid of what you're going to do to me because you're going to be afraid of what I'm going to do to you.
Well, the other thing is that if you're shooting in some mass area, they have their arms out there with a firearm of some type, you're going to hit that, a good chance. You're going to hit either their arms or the firearm that they're pointing at you.
That is true. There's a lot of stories of gunfights where one of the gunshot wounds is in the hand.
Yeah.
Well, if you listen to the Chicago Crime Report, they all get shot in the foot or the ankle. I don't know why, but
hello, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No,
you're still here.
Yeah. Okay. It's all breaking up for me, but no,
it's breaking up. It's breaking up.
But no, it's basically people focus on the threat. They focus on the gun. They focus on the thing that's making the noise. That's the thing I'm going to shoot, basically aim for that. That's what sometimes happens is people say, oh, I see the gun. I saw it really clear. I couldn't tell what the other guy, was doing. Other than that, I saw the gun. So they focus on that. And that's basically where they start aiming. So,
well, they're also, what they ought to do is these guys, when they do these things, they need to, the people that are doing, that are pretending to be the shooters, first off, need to be people that aren't that familiar with guns. They need to be holding, if it's a pistol, they need to be holding it sideways. If it's a rifle, they need to be holding it like with the stock under their arm instead of up on their shoulder.
What they need to do is they kick some random person that's only ever maybe even used a shot on video games only.
What they need to do is they need it for the shooters. They need to go to a Bernie Sanders rally and pick five people at random.
And give them
the NRA basic pistol course, so you can assume that, and then buy them 4 hours at the range that they can shoot unsupervised, and do the standard, because you got to, I mean, I know like the Virginia Tech shooter allegedly, you know, went to a shooting range a couple of times. But I mean, we've all been to the shooting range with the fucking dipshit that's just making, you know, making expensive noise.
Yep.
He's just shooting, and not necessarily, he's not doing trigger control. He's just slapping the trigger and just putting a big old shotgun grouping on that target at, you know, 7 feet.
If he even hits it.
Yeah.
Or hitting into the ceiling because, hey, I'm shooting real fast.
No, low left doesn't go towards the ceiling.
Well, we're out of time. Thanks for calling, Radis.
Okay.
Thanks,
bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Aw.
Well, it's time. I did want to say one more thing, though. Y'all be happy to know that I won the lottery.
Yay!
The Powerball. You know, they say when you're a big lottery winner, you're supposed to set like 20% for your family and, you know, give your, you know, 20% for your friends and all that kind of stuff. So I'm creating a trust for my family. It'll have 40 cents in it. and I have another 40 cents set aside to pass out amongst all my friends. So you'll all be getting like a nickel or something. I don't know.
Oh,
what did nice. did you actually get one of the piddly winnings?
I got $4. I won $4 in the lottery. So
wow.
How many investments double your freaking money overnight one day?
That's, me and a buddy were actually talking. Our office had a pool, and me and a guy I work with did not partake in the pool, and I was pointing out the fact that, you know what I mean, people say, and I don't knock this, or the people that say that, oh, you pay $2 just so you can have a little bit more of a credible dream with this fantasy, because let's face it, we've all got the fantasy, we all have got the, you know, both of us said, yep, no, all we do with that money is put our face on a fucking milk carton, because you're not going to see us. We are just going to disappear. Yep. Not you guys, because I fucking podcast for free, and I'm going to continue to do that. That's all winning the lottery is going to do.
From a secret location.
Yeah. Probably not. I'd probably be bragging about it. Because I'd want you guys to come over for drinks.
Hey, I'm on my private island.
You could fly us there.
Oh, I'd never fucking buy an island. Islands suck. I've lived on islands. Islands suck. But if you
have several $100 million, you could make an island not suck.
Yep.
Trust me on this one.
Eh. Yeah, better.
If anybody wants to prove me wrong, give me $500 million and we'll see.
Yep.
Yeah, better to have like a compound somewhere.
On an island.
You can
newsflash, Greenland is an island.
Yes.
Oh,
why would
cold.
You want to live in Greenland?
Hawaii is an island too.
What's that?
Take over Hawaii.
Yeah, there you go.
Madagascar.
Or I can
also
rope off a fucking couple acres.
Cuba.
Okay. All right. We
actually, 500 million probably would buy Cuba.
All the 57 Chevys.
Yeah, that's right.
But as I was saying, the people that say that, oh, I pay $1 or $2 or whatever the hell the money is for a ticket, and therefore when I have my dream, in the end, there's always that little twinge of the it might happen, you know, sort of idea.
No, it won't.
And I would say that would be all well and good, except for every single time I've ever been holding a lottery ticket, I feel like a fucking moron for having it.
Yep. You know why?
And so therefore that fantasy, that little bit of a fantasy thing, because in the end, no matter what you do, you're not going to fucking win.
No, you're not. And what's funny is it's actually, if anybody but the government would do it, they'd be sued for fraud and put out of business.
Yes, but somebody won.
Three people won.
Yeah, but so what?
But no, you're saying you'll never.
So
win,
why would they be put for fraud?
Yes,
won.
Yes. Some people win. You will not. There's a difference.
How do you know that?
Because 1 in 292 million tells me.
Yep, that's called. I can round that up very easily to zero.
Yep. the odds that someone will win are actually not that bad. But I mean, not every time, obviously, because they go through, you know, weeks with nobody winning. But
November 4th, it's been over 2 months.
Yeah. But eventually somebody's going to win. However, the odds of any one person winning are virtually zero.
So that makes
no sense.
It's a fraud. Like
I actually texted this coworker when I was listening to the news and heard they say that there was three winners and none of them were from anywhere near New England, and said, "Hey, congratulations, we won the lottery because." Yep, we did not spend it, so therefore we did not feel like dipshits for playing along with a stupid little game. Again, the only way to win is not to play. If we all just said, you know what, fuck this noise and stopped playing, we would all win because it would go away.
Well, the real – and here's the other thing. Here's the reason that even ignoring the odds for a minute, the reason that I say it'd be shut down as a fraud if somebody was doing it that wasn't the government is because it – disproportionately impacts the poor and the stupid.
Yep.
Because you got people. I literally saw people that looked like they didn't have two pennies to rub together, dropping 50, 60 bucks on lottery tickets.
Sure.
This past.
Oh God. Year. to tell a little bit of a story, I remember telling that all the ladies at the liquor store near my house love La Weirda. They think she's so cute. She's so hilarious. And my daughter loves mugging for people. Anyone that's showing her attention, she likes to have her adoring public. I remember at one point we were at a restaurant and there was a bunch of teenage girls in the booth beside us. And she kept looking over at those girls and looking really perturbed because she's like, "Hello, there's a cute little girl here. What the fuck are you ladies doing?" So she loves it. And my wife goes, "The people at the liquor store know you?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And she goes, "Do they think you're an alcoholic?" I said, "No, because every time I go to the liquor store, either in front of me in line or behind me in line, there is an alcoholic. And how do I know they're an alcoholic? Picture an alcoholic."
Yeah.
And it's one of those like old fucking – you know, seedy ass man, you know, with the shakes, and he's in bedraggled clothes, and he's buying a fucking pint of whiskey and like $2 worth of scratch tickets, and he's gonna go out and drink his whiskey out of a paper bag in the parking lot while scratching off his scratch tickets.
Oh God, the scratch tickets.
The scratch tickets, exactly. But it's one of those like. I mean, these people are obviously like just completely destroyed their lives, but they're still managed to spend money on the lottery.
That's because that one ticket's going to get them back on track, baby.
That's right. Yeah. Though that one ticket's going to give them enough money to finally drink themselves to death. they don't have enough money to fucking pull the trigger.
That'll do it. All right. Well, that was a good show. We'll be back next week.
We sure will.
Really?
I will not be in attendance next week.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Jay.
Yeah, do you have a note from your doctor?
I'm going to be in Las Vegas.
Oh, we're going to dock your pay.
You're going to be on assignment.
Yes, at SHOT Show. So,
Jay!
I will be getting my shins rammed by small carts all week long. Yay.
Jay!
Yes?
Stop by the Ruger booth. Tell them I want a GP100 built using the LCR technology. I want a plastic GP100.
I just want an LCR. I want an LCR with a 3-inch barrel in .357 Magnum and .22 long rifle.
Oh,
that's what
God.
I want. I'm going to go. I'm going to deliver wedgies until they make it.
Well, they made the one in .38, so the 357.
Yes, I want 357.
But I want a 6-shot full size one with the plastic frame, so it's both light and low recoil.
Light and low recoil.
What? Alan, think about it. When you look at like a 1911 competition shooter, you got a 1911 shooter with an open gun. They're dropping all sorts of like tungsten and all that, and they've got the gun all in stainless. They're making it as heavy as possible. but yet turn around to the guys that are shooting the Glocks. They're not making it any heavier because the polymer frame has a little bit of flex to it, and that absorbs recoil. And so it's so when you're dealing with a polymer frame gun, it's light like an aluminum frame gun, but yet it recoils like a stainless steel frame gun. Plastic is fucking awesome. Come on, man. You're the one with the M&P. Yes. And the Performance Center scandium framed. Yours is scandium, right?
The 1911, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So come on, which one recoils less? Scandium bucks around, doesn't it?
I honestly don't perceive a difference really between it and a steel 1911.
Well, that's because you got good form.
Maybe I'm just clueless idiot.
With good form.
I don't know.
All I am saying is I was expecting Jay Snubby from Hell when I bought my 357 LCR and like went to the range with like some mouse fart 38s and shot those first. I went, geez, that wasn't bad at all. And started shooting my somewhat spicy, they're not really bragging worth, but some decent, like heavyweight 357s. And yeah, was shot like a whole bunch of them and was not experiencing any fatigue. And I have, I think on two occasions, gone through an entire wheel of 357 in Jay's revolver and not had one of my rounds that I didn't crimp tight enough. They're all from the same batch. I did like 500 in one afternoon and set them up for my set. It was a load for set up for my all steel Colt Trooper. I did not realize that. Yeah. If you put those exact same rounds in a scandium frame 357 that, oh yeah, no, they're going to jump the crimp. But yeah, I've never had a round jump the crimp in my LCR. So yeah, okay. I want a GP100 I want a plastic full size 357.
All right, make it happen, Jay.
Make it happen, Jay.
All right.
Tell me you'll do it. Pinky swear.
Pinky swear. I'll hashtag it for you, weird.
There okay. you go. Make it Deal. A meme.
Hashtag. Deal.
All right.
Get weird.
Night, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Good night, Internet.
Bye.